question his word.
The grunt flung his arm to the ground, defiantly ignoring the pain from the whip strike. He stood tall and puffed up his chest.
And what if I do?
He reached behind his back towards his axe. The slaver smiled broadly and dropped his whip to the ground.
Axe, now!
He shouted. One of the other grunts pulled his axe off his back and tossed it in the slaver's hands.
They're going to fight? I asked.
Death match, Adili explained. An orc can challenge any other orc to a battle till death if he feels disrespected. If it is a higher-ranking orc, he will assume that orc's position of power if he wins.
Maybe we should attack while they're distracted, I suggested.
The battle won't end till someone dies, so ready an arrow and wait for the death blow. We may be able to take out two before they see us, and one of the orcs has given up his axe already, so that's another easy kill. That'll leave us at only two, one for you and one for me.
Adili and I crouched down in a patch of grass, and we both readied our snipe shots as we watched the orcs square off against each other. The slaver coursed his feet against the ground and held his large metal axe in one hand, while the grunt gripped an identical axe with two, strafing sideways around the slaver, as if he were about to swing it like a baseball bat. The four orcs surrounding the two fighters stomped their feet and grunted, while the human sat with his head low to the ground, paying no attention to the fight. The grunt rushed towards the slaver with a roar and started swinging his axe furiously in his direction. But the slaver easily dodged. The slaver countered with a one-handed swing of his own, which the grunt ducked away from, and then the grunt swung upwards, clipping the thick skin of the slaver, leaving a nasty cut against his chest. The slaver took a step back and looked down at the blood dripping out of the incision in his peck. He rubbed his finger across the wound and tasted his own blood as the grunt smiled, looking proud at his accomplishment.
Come on!
The grunt yelled, shaking his axe, taunting the slaver. The slaver stormed forward angrily, and when he was in distance of the grunt swung out with his axe, which was parried by the slaver. The slaver kicked the grunt in the abdomen, causing him to jolt back, and then landed a clean, deep cleave right to the grunt's ribs. The grunt yelled in agony and swung its axe hard and wild, barely missing the slaver, who rolled backwards and out of the way. When the slaver stopped his roll, his eyes narrowed while the grunt looked down at his wound. The slaver pulled his axe back and threw it in a spinning forward arch, landing with a bone-cracking snap deep in the center of the grunt's forehead.
Now, Adili whispered, right as the orcs erupted into cheers.
Adili's arrow slammed right into the back of one of the sitting grunts, ending its life instantly. But while my arrow landed hard in the back of another grunt, it wasn't enough to end its life. The grunt fell, groaning, and grabbing at the arrow protruding from its back. The slaver immediately saw our hiding position and pointed towards us with rage in his eyes.
Kill them,
he bellowed. The two uninjured grunts, along with the slaver, started running in our direction, while the grunt I hadn't managed to kill picked himself off the ground and started dislodging my arrow from its body. I fired off another arrow that landed in the slaver's shoulder, but it didn't seem to have any effect on him.
Get ready!
Adili yelled, drawing her sword and assuming a combat stance. I holstered my bow and quickly drew my sword as I watched the three large orcs running towards us, and the other unarmed orc searching for a weapon in the distance. It was frightening, the huge, green, beastly-looking men clearly hungry for our blood. When they were almost in striking distance, Adili raised her hands and cast her rooting spell, causing vines to grow out of the ground and stop the three orcs in their tracks.
Now, use your fire curtain!
While I had assumed the fire curtain spell had been to block attacks, I could see what she was getting at. All three of the orcs were in a straight line, tugging at their feet, trying to break free. I held my hand out and concentrated on casting fire curtain. It was the first time that I had used the spell, but after using fire blast and fire arrow, I was pretty sure that the game would recognize exactly what I was trying to do. A wall of flames suddenly surged up from the ground, right across the three orcs, and they all screamed in agony as they were burned by the sudden flames. Their loincloths ignited, and I could hear the sizzle of their skin. But the fire also ignited Adili's root, allowing the orcs to yank free from the wilting vines. The orcs flopped forward on the ground, rolling, extinguishing the flames, and Adili and I rushed in their direction. The orcs were resilient, and after only a couple seconds on the ground, they stood back up, clearly injured from the flames, but angrier than they were before. The fire curtain had claimed 30% of my mana, and I fired two fire blasts at one of the grunts, leaving me with just about one-third of my pool. "Good job!" Adili called out as the grunt I targeted died, and she engaged in battle with another grunt. That left the slaver for me. I'm not sure it was Adili's intention to leave me with the highest level enemy in sight, but I leapt forward in a roll as the slaver swung his axe at me. He was surprisingly fast up close, but I could already tell that I had a little bit of a speed advantage. I swung my sword at the slaver, but he blocked my blow, knocking my sword out of the way. He raised his axe for a death strike, but I quickly shot a fire blast into his abs that knocked him back. He clawed at the impact of the blast, and I could see in his desperate eyes that he was on the verge of death. The slice he took with the grunt, the fire curtain, and the fire blast had put him on his last legs, and a quick dive of my sword would probably take him out. I raised my blade for the killing blow, but immeasurable pain caught me right below the side of my ribcage, a blow so hard that it knocked me to the side a couple feet and dropped me to the ground. I looked down to see one of the orc's axes lodged into my body, and when the orc grunt yanked it out, I thought I was going to faint. 60% of my health was gone, and I was bleeding. "Careful!" I heard Adili yell, and I looked up to see the slaver's axe coming towards me. I held my sword up and blocked it just in time, and right at that moment, I saw the green glow of nature's regrowth pulsing around me. Another axe came swinging in my direction, and I rolled, barely avoiding another cleave, right as Adili slashed into the grunt's throat. Again, I rolled as the slaver made his last attempt to kill me, and I stuck my hand out, expending my last bit of mana to launch a fire blast right in the slaver's face. The slaver dropped his axe and screamed as it grabbed its eyes. It probably would have died from that, but I launched myself forward and dipped the tip of my blade in its throat to make sure he had no chance to survive.
"You have gained 755 XP. You have gained 1 point of willpower. You are bleeding and require medical attention. Bleeding is a damage over time effect."
"Fuck," I grunted as I clenched onto my side. I used my free hand to pull out one of my bandages and struggled to apply it to the cut.
"You have reached level 2 in first aid."
The bandage went on sloppily, but it worked to stop the bleeding icon that had been pulsing under my health bar, and the rest of my health was still rising from Adili's spell. Adili walked over to me, offered me her hand, and helped me to my feet.
"Excellent," she said. "I can almost see you growing as a fighter. You took the level 10 on almost entirely alone."
I smirked a bit as I stood. "I got distracted when I got injured. I would have died if you weren't here."
"It'll be easier for you to continue fighting with those kinds of wounds as your willpower increases," Adili explained.
"Hey," a voice rang out. "Hey, get me out of this fucking thing." We turned to see the orc's prisoner banging on his cage and waving his hand.
"I almost forgot about him," Adili muttered.
"Oh, God," the man sighed as we approached. "Thank goodness you guys came here. Please get me out. I'm pretty sure the one with the big helmet has the key." I walked back to the slaver's corpse, fetched the key from his pocket, and opened the captive's cage. "Who are you?" I asked. "What are you doing in this cage?"
"Aaron. My name is Aaron."
The guy huffed and quickly ran towards one of the dead grunts and started searching its pockets.
"Hey, that's our loot, you know," I yelled.
"Fuck," the guy grunted as he picked up an axe. When he swung it, the weight of it almost made him fall over.
"Are you a reborn?" Adili asked.
"Reborn?" The guy chuckled as he dropped the axe. "Yeah, I guess that's what we programmed you to call us." He ran to another grunt and started searching as fast as he could.
"Dude," I said, "what's with you?"
"Dude?" The guy suddenly stopped what he was doing. He turned back towards Adili and me, and paced furiously towards us.
Wait, are you a player? I mean, are you a reborn?
Yeah, I said and shrugged my shoulders. You're the first human, I mean, reborn that I've met since I've been in the world.
You've got to fucking help me,
the guy said desperately. He reached out and gripped onto my leather shoulders.
There's not a lot of time.
I pushed the guy off me.
Relax, what's wrong with you?
I looked him up and down.
And you've got to figure shit out yourself, just the same as I did.
The guy's eyes darted to the ground and he spoke breathlessly.
I was hunting rabbits and other bullshit near here, just trying to gain a couple levels before a goblin came out of nowhere. I ran, but I still died, and when I came back to get my stuff back, they captured me and started going on about me being a reborn.
He looked up into my eyes.
But it doesn't matter now. I've got to move fast. You've got to help me.
The guy was seriously annoying and weird. He reminded me of people back on Earth, always thinking about themselves, always trying to get ahead without any consideration of other people, and I didn't like it one bit. Besides, who would do a solo corpse run anywhere near these camps? He was obviously an idiot. Sorry, I'm more of a solo kind of guy.
You're with her, the guy said, looking towards Adili.
Yeah, but she's different. She's not a reborn. I held up my hand at the guy and turned towards the princess. We should loot up and move on to the next camp.
Wait, the guy shouted. Just listen to me, please.
I raised my eyebrows. All right, we're listening.
I'm Aaron Sizemore, the VP assistant of Nexicon. What?
I pushed the guy hard and pulled my sword out of its sheath.
So you're responsible for me being stuck in here?
Aaron held up his hand.
Wait, no, I had nothing to do with it.
Then what the hell is going on? Why the hell haven't I been able to log off? And what was that broadcast that the Nexicon CEO sent about us all being dead? Aaron sighed and lowered his head.
It's true.
I raised my sword at him. I'm not sure why. I knew I couldn't really kill him, but just the fact that someone had tampered with my life made me want to rain down some punishment.
Wait, Aaron said, holding his hands up again. I swear I had nothing to do with it. I only came here to save you.
Save me? I asked, relaxing my sword a bit. Did he have a way for me to log out?
Inside the tent, Adili interrupted. There's still another camp. I don't want anyone to see us out here talking.
Aaron and I nodded, and we all moved inside the tent. Aaron sat down on a chest that was inside and crossed his arms.
You know who Rupert Winston is, right?
Of course I know. Everyone knows.
I don't know, Adili added.
Aaron chuckled and dipped his chin at the elf.
As far as you're concerned, elf girl, this is a reborn-only conversation. You couldn't possibly understand.
Aaron cleared his throat and turned back towards me.
Well, he's solely responsible for all of this, and back on Earth, people are going nuts.
Earth? Adili asked.
Aaron rolled his eyes.
I told you that you won't understand.
Hey, I barked. Be polite. If you were in the forest, you would kneel to her. The guy rolled his eyes and shook his head.
Only 5 days and you already fully immersed, huh?
His eyes wandered.
I guess you should be, since it's the last world you'll ever know.
Just get to the point. How the fuck do I log out? Aaron shook his head.
Did you miss the part where I just confirmed that you're dead? I mean, you're not dead, but your consciousness has been permanently transferred here. Your Earth body is dead.
So then what the hell are you going on about saving me for?
Because back on Earth, a lot of people, powerful people, the most powerful people, want Eden's Gate shut down.
Why?
Because people are killing themselves to get in, that's why. Not many people understand this technology, because there's never been anything like it before.
There was a long moment of silence as I processed his words. I turned to Adili to see her brow wrinkled, trying hard to understand what we were talking about. She was clearly very confused. But his words made me think hard about my situation. I had already considered the fact that I felt more comfortable in Eden's Gate, as opposed to back on Earth. But hearing that other people were voluntarily killing themselves to get where I was confirmed that I wasn't a complete nutcase.
So people want it shut down. And? I asked.
And, the guy said, nodding his head sarcastically,
if Eden's Gate shuts down, then that means you die.
He pointed to me, and then pointed to Adili.
And all the NPCs, too. Everything's gone.
Adili blinked and twisted her lips.
I don't understand. Someone wants to destroy Eden's Gate? Are you talking about the Scourge?
What the hell is the Scourge? Aaron asked.
I pointed towards the corpses outside of the tent.
That's part of the Scourge.
I shook my head dismissively.
If you're a developer at Nexicon, you would know that.
I helped design and develop the world, but it would be impossible to make something this big by hand in a lifetime. Many of the core elements and locations were handcrafted, but the good majority of everything was procedurally generated.
Okay, but what does this all have to do with me? If someone outside Eden's Gate wants the world shut down, how would I be able to do anything about it?
I need to get to Dr. Winston's castle. I can't do it alone.
The same castle I saw on the launch day broadcast? I asked. In the Mostalands?
Aaron's eyes widened. Yeah, the same one. Help me get there and save everyone.
I rolled my eyes. There's no way we can get there. I already know it's one of the highest level zones in the game. I motioned my hand towards Adili.
Let's go finish our mission.
Just listen, the guy shouted. There's a way we can get there. Remember, I helped design this game?
I shook my head. I don't know whether to believe you or not, but right now, I'm more interested in leveling up.
Level up for what? Aaron asked. So you can get some epic loot before everything goes dark?
I turned and burned my eyes into him.
If you understood the game, you probably wouldn't need to ask why I want to gain experience.
But even if I wasn't caught up in this world, my girlfriend is out there somewhere, and I have every intention of finding her.
Your girlfriend? Aaron asked. From Earth?
Yeah.
Aaron laughed loudly.
Do you realize how big the world is out there? There's no mini-map or pointer arrows in this game. Without being able to log out and compare notes, you expect to find her how?
Yeah, it's huge, but...
Where are you from? Aaron asked.
I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay, so City of Angels.
Aaron rubbed his hands together.
So imagine walking on foot from Los Angeles to, I don't know, Zimbabwe. How long do you think that would take you?
I pressed my lips together hard, but didn't respond.
Yeah, so multiply whatever you're thinking by 10, and that's most likely how long it'll take you to travel to your sweetheart just by leveling up. And that's if you could figure out where she is somehow. You'll likely be walking in circles, chasing your own tail. And are you certain she's even in the game?
I can't be certain she didn't log out.
So then you're an idiot.
Fuck off, I spat, and started walking towards the exit of the tent. I just wanted to loot the orcs and get the hell away from that guy.
Wait,
Aaron shouted, but I just kept walking.
Look.
I turned and spoke sharply.
Look at what? You're wasting our time. I can help you.
Help me how?
I helped Dr. Winston build this world, so I know more about the game mechanics than anyone else other than him.
He drew his bottom lip into his mouth and moistened it with saliva.
And I placed a hidden portal to his castle in a dungeon. If we can get to that dungeon, we can reach the castle without going through all the high-level shit.
And that helps me find my girlfriend how? I scoffed.
Dr. Winston controls this world now. If your girl is still in this game, he can tell you where she is.
I swallowed hard, but I didn't speak. I just stared daggers into Aaron's eyes, trying to read him like a poker player.
Look, Dr. Winston is the only hope that we have of keeping this world alive. I don't know if the people on Earth can actually shut this thing down, but even if they can't now, they won't stop until they figure out how.
Aaron bent down and picked up a handful of dirt, then let it slowly fall from his hands.
No one other than gamers
and the people inside here believe that this place is real, because he's shut the whole world off. We just need to get him to open communications with Earth one time, so that he can show everyone that we're really alive inside. That's all. If they can see us, real people, inside living our lives, they'll change.
And then he'll tell me how to find my girl?
Aaron shook his head and looked to the ground. I can't promise you anything, but he's your best shot at finding your girl. He's the only one who has access to the game console.
Roar!
Came a sound from behind us. An arrow sailed in the direction of Adili, striking her in the shoulder. When the three of us turned around, there was an orc holding a longbow who immediately bolted away. Adili looked down with flinching eyes to the arrow protruding from her shoulder and grabbed onto the wood just below the fletching.
Go! She shouted. Don't let him get away!
I ran out of the tent after the orc scout, forgetting my conversation with Aaron. I could see the orc rushing across the field towards the last tent on the river. I held up my hand and focused a fire curtain right in front of his running path and nailed it. The orc ran right into the wall of fire. As the orc whelped in pain and panicked, I dropped to one knee and pulled my bow from my back. I aimed at the orc, but didn't have time to focus a snipe shot. Instead, I just let the arrow fly, and as it soared through the air, I focused fire arrow on it. The searing arrow met its mark, landing right above the hip of the groaning orc, causing it to cry and grab at its new wound. The orc mewed around on the ground, but it didn't die, so I switched my bow out for my sword and ran towards it as fast as I could. When I arrived to the orc, it seemed helpless, writhing on the ground. It had been affected by the fire more than the previous orcs. Its skin looked tortured, charred, rumpling in spots that prevented it from having full range of motion. It was definitely down to its last few HP. I drove my blade into its blackened chest, and it stopped moving.
You have gained 150 XP.
I looked up towards the other camp and didn't see anything really. No alarm bells were ringing and I didn't spot any movement. The orc I killed must have just been a wanderer. I turned back towards the tent where Aaron and Adili were waiting. Adili had already removed the arrow from her shoulder, and the green of her healing spell was pulsing around her. It's all clear. We should head for the other camp, I said.
We don't have time, Aaron said. We've got 3 days, barely. I've already wasted most of the day.
I sighed. You said that the portal is in a dungeon in the Mastalands. Even if Dr. Winston could help me find Rachel, there's no way we can get there anytime soon. Certainly not in 3 days.
Rachel is her name? Adili asked. Your girlfriend?
I was surprised at her curiosity, but I just nodded.
The portal isn't in the Mastalands. There's a dungeon in a place called Grimora, several thousands of miles from the Mastalands. It's a mixed zone with all different levels of monsters.
Why would he have a portal to his castle in a dungeon several thousands of miles away?
I told you, I placed it there, Aaron explained. The Mastalands is one of the handcrafted zones, and getting there or getting through there would be a pain in the ass. I'm not much of an RPG gamer. I had plans of playing as a crafter when the game launched, so I placed the hidden portal in a low-level dungeon, just in case I ever needed access to the castle. I never told Dr. Winston about it. He wouldn't have allowed it if he'd known.
Grimora is across the Serpent Sea, Adili explained. Just crossing the sea would take at least a week, and that's if you manage to survive.
What we need is a mage. There's no real people.
Aaron cleared his voice and rose his eyebrows.
Ahem. There's no reborns who would have a high enough magic level to use teleportation yet. But if we could convince an NPC mage to transport us to Grimora, the three of us could probably clear the dungeon together.
Adili shook her head.
I'm sorry, I don't understand this RPG gamer and NPC jargon you're using, but I don't trust you enough to travel to some dungeon in Grimora. Even standing here in the Freelands, the forest calls for my return.
I'm not sure I trust you either, I explained. I thought back to other MMORPGs that I played in the past.
and there were always a few toxic sorts of players who just wanted to lure someone into a zone to get ganked and loot them.
"You're level what?" Aaron asked me.
"Level 6.
"So what do you have to lose? 6 days of loot if you die? A waste of time? In 3 days, the government is going for a global blackout to shut down the Eden's Gate blockchain. I don't know how to get you to trust me, but if we don't make it to Dr. Winston, we're all dead, and there's no chance you'll see your girlfriend again."
I pinched my brow and swallowed his words. He looked like a total idiot standing there in his boxer shorts, but he didn't seem like he was being deceitful. If he was telling the truth, everything was on the line.
"Adili, could your mother transport us to Gramora?"
"My mother isn't an arcane magic user, and the few elves I know who have arcane skills aren't practiced enough to cast a high-level teleportation spell."
"Do you know anyone else who could teleport us?" Aaron asked Adili.
Adili shook her head.
"Fuck," Aaron spat.
"There is one guy," I muttered. "I know he's skilled in arcane, but I don't know how skilled. A shop owner in Linden. A real asshole, but..."
"Well, let's go," Aaron said enthusiastically. "We've got to start somewhere."
"Wait a minute," I held up my hand. "I'm not going anywhere till I finish this quest. There's only one more camp left for us to take out."
"Come on, man," Aaron whined. "Are you not listening?"
"We finish the quest and I'll go. Take it or leave it. You said we have a couple days." Aaron bit his bottom lip and sighed.
"All right, fine. But we've got to leave after this."
"Add him to the party?" I asked Adili. I scanned up and down his scrawny frame. "And you should probably scavenge some clothes from the dead orcs. You look ridiculous."
"Aaron Sizzle has joined your party."
"Your last name is Sizzle?"
"My real name is Aaron Sizemore, but I thought that if I was starting a new life here, I would spice things up. Be a little cooler, you know?"
"Sizzle?" I asked again, raising one of my eyebrows.
"For shizzle, my nizzle," Aaron said, raising his shoulders. "It's got a nice ring to it. If we manage to survive, maybe one day they'll know me as the Sizzler."
"For shizzle?" Adili asked.
"My nizzle," Aaron replied. "It's slang for sure, my friend."
"Oh,"
Adili replied. Aaron ran outside and started going through the dead orcs, and I just sat there shaking my head. The guy was a total dork. "Are you okay with this?" I asked Adili.
"For shizzle," she replied. "So long as he doesn't interfere with our mission, it should be fine."
I scratched the back of my head. "You probably want to avoid saying that. It doesn't really sound right coming from a high elf."
"Okay, my nizzle."
"Ugh." I took a moment to pull up Aaron's stats. He was inexperienced, all right.
"Aaron Sizzle. Race, human. Level, 2. Title, none. Health, 110. Mana, 100. Stamina, 100. Strength, 10. Dexterity, 10. Intelligence, 12. Vitality, 11. Wisdom, 10. Willpower, 10. Charisma, 10.
I opened the chest that Aaron had been sitting on in the tent and inside found 100 gold, a food ration, and a pair of leather gloves.
"You've received Merciless Gladiator gloves. +4 armor. Durability, 10 out of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, common. Weight, 0.3 kilogram. +2 strength. +1 vitality."
I immediately equipped the leather gloves and did a check of my stats.
"Gunner Long, race, human. Level, 6. Progress, 35%. Title, none. Health, 145 plus. Mana, 110. Stamina, 110. Strength, 17 plus. Dexterity, 17. Intelligence, 17. Vitality, 12 plus. Wisdom, 13. Willpower, 11. Charisma, 10. AR rating, 33. Resists, 10% fire resistance. Traits, Elven Touch. Primary skills, First Aid, level 2, progress 0%. Inspect, level 2, progress 70%. Sneak, level 2, progress 90%. Tinkering, level 1, progress 0%. Summon Beast, mastered. Inscription, level 1, progress 0%. Combat skills, Dodge, level 2, progress 80%. Small Blades, level 2, progress 0%. Backstab, level 1, progress 0%. Archery, level 3, progress 70%. Block, level 1, progress 80%. Swords, level 3, progress 20%. Snipeshot, level 1, progress 69%. Magic skills, fire magic, level 3, progress 75%.
I had come a long fucking way in 6 levels, that's for sure. When comparing myself to Aaron, I felt like a badass. But then again, he had his way of making himself look weak, regardless of his stats.
I can't wield any of their axes, Aaron moaned.
I looked up to see him walking towards me in a pair of fur boots, fur bracers, and a wacky-looking metal shoulder pad. With his white boxer shorts on display, he looked like some sort of failed Eskimo wrestler.
The strength requirement is 15. I practically break my back when I try to swing them.
Here, you can have this, I said, reaching into my bag. I handed him my copper training dagger. I hadn't been getting much use out of it since I found Mithinthar's blade. I also gave him the leather gloves that I had just replaced and my flint and steel. I figured the flint was just taking up a slot in my bag since I could light things with my fire magic.
What are your sneak skills like? Adili asked.
Level 1, 10% progress, Aaron replied. If I were sneaky, I probably wouldn't have gotten captured.
You should probably stay far behind us then. This is an important mission to the elves.
Yeah, I got it, Aaron mumbled.
Adili led the way towards the third camp, sneaking behind trees and tall grass. Aaron was far behind us, making sure that we cleared an area before moving into our previous position. We ducked behind a nearby rock that gave us a clear view into the camp. It was set up the same as the previous two, but the campfire wasn't lit, and there were no orcs outside. A leather panel was draped over the tent's entrance.
I sense magic, Adili mumbled.
I nodded. I also felt something. It was as if the air was filled with thick, invisible sound waves or something. It just felt weird.
Come on now, let's get on with this.
Adili and I both flinched as Mr. Sizzle jumped behind us. Adili had her hand on her sword as if she were ready to counter an attack.
What's wrong? Aaron looked at us with innocent eyes. The camp is clearly empty.
I shook my head at him.
Duck down, dumbass.
I guess we're going to have to rush the tent, Adili explained. Aaron, stay here behind this rock.
All right, Aaron said.
If things get ugly, run for the Crystal River. Orcs are terrible swimmers, so let's just hope that there's just orcs in there.
Adili pointed to each side of the entrance and then tilted her chin. We both dashed to either side of the tent, and the heavy feeling of magic was even more intense there. The smell of herbs hung in the air, and I could hear a slight electrical buzz coming from inside.
You have reached level 3 in sneak.
Adili used her fingers to count down to 3, and then she rushed inside, me right behind her. Both of us had our swords raised to strike. But the moment we entered, we both slowed and took in the sight ahead of us. In the center of the tent was a boiling cauldron, and 3 orcs held their hands out towards the steam rising from it, their eyes glued shut. The orcs were covered in a mesh of loose leather armor and fur, and they all had wolf pelts draped from the top of their heads and down their backs.
Name, Greenskin Shaman, Race, Orc, Level, 10. Health, 100. Mana, 140. Stamina, 100. Status, aggressive.
They didn't move, but whatever they were doing seemed to cause the steam above the cauldron to form an illusionary first-person scene of someone running through a forest that was undoubtedly Addenfall. At the back of the tent was another orc, sitting in a large, throne-like chair. He was covered in a thick black robe with long, curved thorns jutting out of his shoulders. Leaning beside him was a black staff with a crystal skull at the top, and while he sat unmoving, his eyes were exploding with bright, white electricity.
Name, Commander Dilug. Race, Orc. Level, 15. Health, 200. Mana, 160. Stamina, 100. Status, unknown. You have reached level 3 in Inspect.
None of them attacked.
What is this? I whispered. They're performing a ritual of some sort, it seems.
We watched for a moment as the image over the cauldron continued rushing across Addenfall at a breakneck speed, turning at every corner
ignoring all obstructions in its way.
"It looks like they're searching for something," I said.
"Whatever it is, we need to end this," Adili said.
"What? What the hell is this?"
Aaron's voice spoke loudly behind us.
"Aaron!" I snapped.
There was a loud roar, and a painful feeling swam through my body. My feet rose off the ground, and I could barely move a muscle. I turned my head slowly and saw that Adili was rising as well, and dark bands of magic were pouring from the black-robed commander's hand.
"Run, Aaron!"
Adili shouted. I couldn't see Aaron, but I heard his feet scurry away from us. What I could see were the shamans in front of us who were slowly coming out of their trance.
"Why are you disrupting me, elf?"
Dilug roared. Adili slowly raised her palm, and a flash of light erupted, dispelling whatever spell held us in place, and we both fell back onto our feet.
"Now!" Adili yelled,
and drove her sword through the back of the shaman closest to her. Blood erupted from the shaman's mouth, and he croaked as he fell, his head smashing against the rim of the cauldron, and causing the contents of herbs and thick gooey liquid to spill to the ground. I drove my sword into the back of another shaman, and the shaman screamed in agony.
"I will kill you both,"
Dilug shouted and raised his staff towards me. A ball of black energy shot out, knocking me back against the ground, leaving my sword sticking in the back of the shaman. My health fell to 60%. Adili ran toward Dilug, but he repeated the motion, knocking Adili back with another ball of black energy from his staff. As Adili crashed to the ground, she raised her hand to cast nature's regrowth on both of us at the same time, and a green glow surrounded me. I shot a fire blast at Dilug, which caused him to step back, but his robe didn't light on fire. Either the robe was magic, which it probably was, or he had a high enough resist to prevent it from happening. Dilug smiled at me, raised his hand, and I suddenly felt a sense of dread wash over me. My vision went dark, and everything around me looked like strange, hard-to-make-out outlines.
"You have been afflicted with darkness. Source, Commander Dilug."
Another splash of strange, magical pain splashed against my head, and I could only imagine that the commander had hit me with his staff's effect again. My health dropped 30%.
"Cleanse!" Adili shouted,
and my vision started to clear, right as the unharmed shaman's dagger was coming towards my face, slashing across my cheek and nose. I panicked. I had no idea what to do without my weapon, so I shot a fire blast at the shaman, which knocked him back a little, and then I cast Fire Curtain in a diagonal pattern, trying to land my fire on all three of the orcs. Adili slammed her sword down at Dilug, but he blocked her with his staff, and the moment my fire erupted from the ground, Adili jumped back to avoid taking damage. The orcs roared at the pain, and the one with my sword in its back fell to the ground in death, but the one holding a dagger smashed his hands together, and a hard gust of air flew out from him, dispelling all the fire. He raised his palm into an upward claw, and small globes of green light spewed from his hand, surrounding him, and then flying over to Commander Dilug.
"He's healing," Adili yelled. "The shaman has to die."
She jumped back towards Commander Dilug, swinging frantically for a disabling blow. I dashed toward the shaman and fired another fire blast to knock him back enough to have a clear shot at grabbing my sword. I yanked it out of the fallen orc's body as soon as it was in reach and turned, right before he raised his hand in the air, and a mysterious lightning bolt crackled out of the sky and landed right on my head. I gasped at the shocking pain, and if it weren't for nature's regrowth, it would have been enough to end my life. I was at 10% health and starting to feel dizzy. I gritted through the agony, charged for the shaman, and he held his hand out like he was about to cast another spell, right before his eyes went wide and blood seeped from his mouth. I was confused at what was happening at first, but still I raised my sword and swung it hard across his neck, causing his head to lop off and roll to the floor. As the body collapsed, there was Aaron, standing in his furry boots and boxer shorts, the bloody copper training dagger in his hands. He had the biggest shit-eating grin on his face.
"Hell yeah, motherfucker! I learned backstab just now." You were supposed to stay back, I yelled. This is dangerous.
Aaron ducked down behind the fallen cauldron as he shouted.
I saw your health bar dropping. I couldn't let you die. And you're welcome.
Well, thanks, I yelled as I rushed towards the scene of Dilug and Adili fighting. Adili slammed her sword swiftly at the warlock, landing a few shallow blows, but mostly getting blocked by Dilug's staff. After a solid block, Dilug lifted the base of his staff, connecting with Adili's abdomen, then shot another bolt of dark energy from the skull at its top, knocking her back hard. Dilug slammed his staff hard into the ground, and dark waves of magic pulsed out from it and dissipated as it traveled further away from him. I could hear a hissing sound behind me, but it didn't stop me from rushing the warlock, slashing at him, and landing a solid blow against his shoulder. He cried out and dropped his staff, just as I lifted my leg and kicked him as hard as I could between his legs.
Advancement, you have learned the skill, Dirty Fighting. You might not feel great about your win, but hey, at least you won, right? Increase your strength to increase your damage with Dirty Fighting.
The warlock's eyes went wide, and he was paralyzed as he held on to his crotch.
Guys! Aaron shouted.
When I turned, I saw the source of the hissing sound. Right behind me was a large apparition, about the size of a linebacker. It looked like a cloud of strange black smoke, something like a dark genie, but it had hulking black arms and white flickering eyes. Apparently, Dilug had summoned it, and it was slowly floating towards Adili and me.
Name, Shadow Elemental. Race, Elemental. Level, 12. Health, 100. Mana, 100. Stamina, 100. Status, Aggressive.
Sara!
Adili shouted and slammed the tip of her sword into the floor. A pulse of green energy traveled across the ground, and I could hear the strong patter of footsteps from outside the tent. Through the entrance, a massive white tiger emerged, roared, and without even hesitating, it jumped at the elemental. The tiger clamped its teeth down on the side of the shadow and dug its paws deep, ripping shreds of black nothingness which faded away as they tumbled to the ground. The elemental howled something that sounded like a loud whistling wind and raised its hulking arms, pounding on the back of the tiger trying to get it off. I turned back around as Adili whipped her sword in an upwards motion, slashing the warlock from chest to face, and I shot another fire blast out of my hand, knocking the warlock to the ground. Then expended the last of my mana to shoot a blast in the other direction, at the Shadow Elemental.
You have reached level 4 in fire magic.
Aaron stayed cowering behind the cauldron as Tsara jumped up and tore a large piece of shadow from the elemental's neck, and a loud whizzing wind sounded its demise, the rest of the shadow's body simply fading away. Adili gracefully took two steps forward and looked down at the fallen warlock, pointing her sword directly at his face.
Disgusting elf,
Dilug bellowed.
And why does the Scourge enter the forest without permission and camp along the Crystal River?
Adili asked.
We wish not to enter the forest. We simply want to find what belongs to us.
A warlock and goblin were found in Adenfall, Adili explained.
Chasing a sparrow.
A sparrow?
Prince Ajug is dead, murdered by the sparrows. His fellblade was stolen,
he spat.
We chased him through the Freelands until he crossed the Crystal River, and we tasked only a warlock and a scout to continue. When they didn't return, my shamans and I began using magic to try to locate him. We camp here in case he crosses back over. And because our location spell can only travel so far. But the king will not stop until the Fellblade is returned and Ajug is avenged.
Adili sighed before she said, I'm sorry for your loss. May you join your prince on the other side.
No!
The warlock yelled as Adili pressed the tip of her sword through Dilug's throat.
You have gained 1,415 XP. Advancement, you have reached level 7 and gained 3 attribute points. To assign your attribute points, open your status page. You can also increase any of your known skills by 1 level. Choose wisely, as your choices cannot be undone. You have gained 10 MP. You have completed all requirements for the quest. Push them back. Return to Queen Farani to collect your reward.
Adili sheathed her sword and cast Nature's Regrowth on herself.
It's done, she said, in a low, troubled voice. We should destroy the camps and head back to the Vale to report to Mother.
He said they were looking for a sparrow? I asked.
The sparrows. A surreptitious group of rogues. It's not unusual for them to harass traveling caravans or pick off easy targets in secret. But I'm surprised they would enter the wastelands and assassinate a prince. It's quite bold of them.
I thought back to the day that I was murdered and remembered the insignia around my killer's neck.
Do they wear a necklace by chance? Some of them, the ones with rank, wear a sparrow around their collar.
Then they were definitely in the forest recently.
If they really stole the Fellblade, that will mean trouble for the Freelands. King Ergoth will send more orcs from the wastelands, I'm certain.
So what should we do?
For now, let's finish up and return to the Vale. Mother will know how to proceed.
Sara strolled up to Adili and started rubbing her head against the princess's leg.
Hello, Aaron said.
I turned and he was waving and giving a phony smile.
I don't want to break up this celebratory discussion, but we kind of have bigger things to take care of. You know, saving everyone in Eden's Gate and all.
Adili looked toward the exit of the tent, where the sun was starting to set.
Linden is too far to reach tonight, but I am happy to accompany you there tomorrow.
No, we go tonight, Aaron insisted. We have no time.
It'll be night by the time we reach the Vale, I explained, and without Adili's haste spell it would take us forever to reach Linden from there. So just listen to her for now. Aaron huffed and crossed his arms, but he seemed to accept the reality for what it was. There were no chests to loot in the third camp, but I found another 120 gold on the orcs that were there. Aaron finally got a pair of fur pants from one of the shamans, a large furry chest piece, and he even draped one of the wolfskin pelts on the top of his head. He still looked like a failed Eskimo, but no longer a half-naked wrestler failed Eskimo. Commander Delug was carrying two interesting items.
Scroll, Siphon Spirit. You call upon dark powers to leech 50% of your target's mana and make it your own. Requires 20 intelligence. Dark magic level 3. Durability 10 out of 10. Quality average. Rarity rare. Weight 0.1 kilograms. 10-minute cooldown. Water repellent choker. Requires 15 intelligence. Durability 7 out of 10. Quality exceptional. Rarity rare. Weight 0.2 kilograms. Plus 15% resist to water magic.
I equipped the choker and stuck the scroll in my bag. The 15% resist would surely be useful sometime down the road, and while the scroll was useless to me now, I could either sell it for a pretty penny or hold on to it in case I ever decided to take up dark magic. It was the kind of spell that I could see being OP, overpowered, if used in conjunction with spells with low cooldowns, but it required level 3 ability, so I wouldn't be able to use it anytime soon, even if I found someone to teach me dark magic. After looting all the orcs, Adili led us through the camps, and we pulled down the tents and stacked them in a big pile. I cast a few fire blasts on them and they went up in flames. With the flames still burning, the three of us swam across the Crystal River, and Adili cast Spirit of Forest on us as we headed back towards the Mist Vale.
Chapter 21. Month 1, Day 5, Year 1.
Orc!
A voice shouted, and I felt an arrow whiz by my ear and land with a thud.
Aw, fuck!
Aaron groaned, grasping at the thin shaft protruding from his chest.
10%! I'm going to die!
Wait! Hold your fire! Adili shouted. He's not an orc!
Hold!
The voice shouted again. It was dark, and the torch that I held up didn't give great visibility, but I could see the faint outline of an elf guard climbing down from his post at the top of a tree. Adili lifted her hand and cast Nature's Regrowth on Aaron as he wrenched the arrow from his chest, and I used my last bandage to patch him up.
Princess,
the guard said. He looked at her and then back to Aaron.
What is this?
He's with us, she said.
Why is he dressed like an orc?
He lost all of his belongings and looted some from the orc soldiers we felled.
The guard snarled.
I'd rather go naked than dress in garb like that.
Hey, guys, Aaron said, shaking his head. Don't be jealous of my sexy furs.
The jaw of the elf guard dropped, and then his lips twisted in anger.
Are you sure you want to bring him into the Vale, my lady? He seems rather unsuitable for...
It's okay,
Adili said calmly, and turned towards Aaron and me.
Come on now.
As we started past, the guard grabbed at the wolf pelt on Aaron's head, yanked it off, and shoved it at him.
Take this thing off, unless you want another arrow in your chest.
Aaron rolled his eyes, and we continued towards the village. At each step of the way, guards seemed to stand to alert and question us as to why we had a human dressed as an orc. And when we made it to the path leading to the palace, the two guards there seemed especially concerned.
It's all right, Adili promised again, and explained the situation for the 10th time.
We eventually made it inside the palace and were told by one of the guards that the king and queen were enjoying dinner, insisting that we not spoil their appetite by bringing someone dressed like Aaron into the banquet hall. Adili ignored the advice, and we continued further into the palace until we reached a pair of large marble doors. When we pushed the doors aside, the two royals were sitting alone at opposite ends of the table, and two other elves were walking about serving them food, drink, and whatever else they wanted. One of the servers dropped a platter the moment he saw us, spilling wine on the floor, and when Queen Farani turned around, her eyes went wide, and a vine shot up from the floor, bursting through the marble, and wrapped tightly around Aaron's body.
Mother, no! Adili shouted. He's not an orc!
The queen's eyes darted back and forth between Adili and the wrapped bundle of furs.
What is he? He's a reborn. Another reborn? Yes, mother.
The queen released her cocoon of vines, and Aaron fell to the ground, coughing, trying to catch his breath.
Holy shit, Aaron said. I guess we went overboard on the elf-on-orc hatred programming.
The queen stood from her chair and walked over to Adili, wrapping her arms around her daughter.
I'm glad you returned home safely, my dear.
She unwrapped her arms and looked down at the damage in the floor left from the vines.
But look what you did to my floors. I didn't think you'd act so swiftly, mother. It's not like a single orc could make it past the palace guards. He could have had a high-level sneak skill.
Adili shook her head and sighed.
What about the camps at the Crystal River? And why is this man dressed that way?
Aaron grabbed onto his furs and tugged.
Hello, can you guys see? It's fur fucking armor. It doesn't mean I'm an orc, for fuck's sake.
The queen's eyes went wide with anger, and I felt a slight rumbling under my feet. Aaron clearly didn't know what he was dealing with. I shoved an elbow into his back and pushed down hard on his shoulder. Kneel, asshole. I kneeled, and Aaron shoved my hand away as he kneeled as well. The floor stopped rumbling, and the queen huffed before saying,
You may rise. Invite the guests to the table, Farani,
the king said, watching the scene patiently from his chair. The queen gave Aaron an ominous glare before saying,
Come, join us then.
The three of us joined the king and queen at the table, and the two server elves began running around to fetch us all food and wine.
The three camps along the Crystal River are no more, Adili explained. We eradicated everyone inside and burned their shelters to the ground.
The king raised his goblet in the air.
Wonderful news, Adili. That should warn Ergoth against moving troops so close to the forest again, the queen said. And thank you for your assistance, Gunner. You have completed the quest, push them back. You have gained 2,000 XP. There was a warlock in one of the camps, a commander, Adili explained. According to him, they had little interest in disturbing the forest. They were looking for a member of the Sparrows.
A sparrow? The queen asked. Why in the world would they send that many soldiers just to find a sparrow? He claimed that Prince Ajug was murdered by a sparrow and his fellblade was stolen. They apparently chased him to the forest. I'm afraid that may not be the last we see of the orcs. If a rogue murderer ran into the forest to avoid capture, he'll probably leave now that the camps have been destroyed. The orcs will be a problem for the Freelanders, not for the elves. We've done enough for now. We could find this sparrow and return the fellblade to King Ergoth, Adili suggested. Queen Farani snorted and smirked. Imagine that. Elves hunting people down in order to assist the orcs. I think you've been spending too much time away from the forest, Adili. You're no longer thinking clearly. If we could return the fellblade to the orcs, it would encourage peace in the Freelands, and the chances of the orcs making another dip into Adenfall is less likely. I'll hear no more of that hogwash, the queen spat.
She's right, my love, the king said. He cleared his throat when the queen locked menacing eyes to his. I mean, you're both right. If Ergoth is enraged, his anger will eventually spill into the forest. It would be blasphemous for the elves to assist the orcs, but we do know someone who might be able to smooth the situation over. He lifted his goblet to his mouth and made a half shrug as he tilted his head towards me.
Gunner, the queen said, I have yet to reward you for your assistance. Tell me, have you found a location to call home yet?
My home? I asked. I'm perfectly fine staying in my room here in the Vale. The queen smiled.
The Vale is home of the High Elves. You're welcome to pass through any time and stay a night or two. But it is not a home for humans or reborns.
Well, then I haven't really thought about it. Aaron lifted a fork topped with vegetables to his lips and spoke with his mouth full.
Building a home is essential to character progression. You'll need somewhere to store your loot and rest. Else you'll be limited to what you can carry and can only stay in camps and inns.
The King of High Castle controls the Freelands, but anyone can build a home there without attacks, the queen explained. I am happy to reward you with 5,000 gold so you can afford to build your first home there.
The Freelands is where the Scourge camps were? I asked.
That's right, Adili answered. But the Freelands stretch for many miles. There's plenty of room for you to find a space to your liking. Or you could buy a home in one of the human villages. But that would cost you much more than what Mother is offering you.
What about Adenfall? I feel comfortable in the forest.
Adenfall is an ancient forest, the queen explained. And thus we don't allow humans to build there. The closest you can get is to the outskirts of Linden.
What about Jack's Horn? I asked. He stays in the forest of Adenfall. The queen swallowed hard.
Jax is a special circumstance. He is nearly as close to the forest as the elves. Gunner here has bonded with a great panther, Mother, Adili said with a grin. It may be that he's a reborn, but I feel like he's not like other humans. At your level, you bonded with a great panther?
The queen asked.
Just a baby, I explained. That is certainly most impressive, the queen said, a look of surprise on her face. But I'm not sure it's reason enough to grant you building rights in one of our most sacred forests.
What about Edgewood? The king suddenly asked. If he's comfortable in the forest, we could allow him to build there.
Edgewood is crawling with dark elves. They would not be happy about a human taking up shelter there, the queen said.
You're the queen. Even the dark elves should respect your choices.
Should, the queen stressed. He's proven himself a friend of the Vale, the king added. He could act as a sort of ambassador between the two forests. We have no high elves who want to live there.
The Queen looked deep in thought for a moment before turning to me.
Edgewood is a small forest, on the opposite edge of the Freelands, not too far from Highcastle. You'll have easier access to the human villages there. If you'd like, I can deed you